Thank you for listening to the podcast of Faith Baptist Church of Enfield, Connecticut. We hope and pray that these messages from Pastor Gary will be a help to you. You can find out more about our church at www.fbcenfield.com or find us on Facebook. God bless and enjoy the message.
Zacharias and Elizabeth. And this is part of the Christmas story. This is the beginning of the Christmas story in Luke chapter 1. And we talked last week about this couple that was faithful. They had waited many, many years. And we talked about there was a silent period. No prophet spoke for 400 years. And all of a sudden, and we kind of left you in the middle of this passage as we talked about he was going in the temple and God had chosen him. And the lot came to him, and he was the one chosen to go into the Holy of Holies. And then something happens, and that's the fact that God showed up. And that's what I want to talk about today, is when God shows up. Now, that's kind of like God's always here, right? God is omnipresent. God always shows up because God is faithful. But we don't always perceive him. We don't always see him, or we don't always understand what he is doing in our lives. And the thought this morning is, when you understand and see what God is doing and wants to do in your life, things will change. Because God is ever present and ever desiring to manifest his power in your life. In fact, there's a verse in the Old Testament in Chronicles that said, "The eyes of the Lord run to and fro, back and forth in the whole earth, looking to show himself," what? "Strong on the behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards him." So God is looking to show himself as being real and powerful in your life. A verse we all know, and you may not know, but a verse that I've known and very encouraging verse is Ephesians 3:20. "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly." Now notice what he says, and we're going to see this manifest, shown, demonstrated in this passage we're reading this morning. "He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly." Notice what he says, "above." In other words, better. In other words, greater, above what we ask or think, according to his power that works in us. This is a powerful verse and a powerful principle, is that as this couple trusted God, and remember, they were older, and remember, they didn't have children, and remember, they were faithful to God. The Bible says they were blameless, and I talked about that. We kind of expanded on it in Bible study, that just because things go wrong in our lives doesn't mean God is not pleased with us. He is working in those things, in those situations. But here, he's saying that God wants to show himself strong toward us. Now, that takes faith, right? Faith is an expectation that God will keep his promise. Faith is waiting for God to show up. Faith is believing that God will work on our behalf, but also works in the sense that as we seek God, and as we seek to get closer to God, and as we know God, our expectations change. Because we want more of God. And as we get more of God, our expectations change. Our expectations, when our expectations are based upon faith in God's promises, will not be disappointed. Now, I'm sure all of us have been disappointed. Somebody's made us a promise, or we expected to get this job, or we expected this marriage to turn out in a certain way, or we expected our kids to turn out in a certain way. Maybe it didn't happen that way, or how we thought. But if our expectations are directed towards God and his promises, what he says in the scripture, will never be disappointed. That's what Hebrews says about faith. Faith is the expectation, the longing, the trust in the promises of God. Now, as I said, this couple, Zacharias and Elizabeth, they didn't understand it. They didn't see it. They might have given up on having a child, but yet they continued to be faithful. They continue to understand that there is satisfaction in the mundane when you're serving God. Now, think about this thought for a minute. Not all of us can have a travel vlog on YouTube. Have you ever watched a travel vlog? They go to these exotic places. They're all happy and they're all doing this and they're you're thinking, man, my life's boring. I haven't even been to Disneyland. I grew up, it's funny that all the traveling I've done, because when I grew up in Maine, when I was a kid, I thought Rhode Island was south. Like Rhode Island to me, it was like far south. And then my first church and deputation, I went to Virginia. And I thought I was in the deep south. They were laughing at me. Now I know why. But here's the problem. And there's books written about this today, that one of our problems as a society is that we're no longer satisfied. And I don't know if mundane is the right word, but we're no longer satisfied with just an ordinary life, if you will. Because years ago, people had very few extraordinary experiences. Right? Disneyland didn't exist, and travel didn't exist. You didn't go in a plane. You grew up in the same place with the same people and died there. And if your father was a shoemaker, you would be an apprentice and you'd be a shoemaker. That was your life. Now we have 20-year-olds traveling all over the world and putting it on YouTube. For you to feel bad. No, just kidding. So your significance, that's why it's important when you come to God that you understand your significance is in God. It's not on what you do. And your life is just as valuable and significant and important being a mother, being a father, having, mundane, ordinary life, nothing wrong with it, doing your duty, fitting in your role, being part of society. And if we understand when we're in Christ, our significance is in Christ, it's so freeing, honestly, to understand when you're in Jesus and you're doing what God wants you to do. Because this couple was just, they were just there among the hundreds, thousands of couples doing their duty. And that was fine. And so today our part of our problem is our unrealistic or media-driven expectations about life that are unreal for most of us. So, but God showed up. Out of the mundane, God showed up. Well, we've been celebrating the birth of Christ. He showed up. But we're expecting him to come again. And when he shows up, things are going to change. Our life is going to change. So let's continue the story. We left off where he was going into the temple. And as he's going into the temple, there's a crowd of people. There's people all around there. And notice what it says here. And while the whole multitude of people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Now, unfortunately, in the church, and not just this church, the church in general, the least attended meeting is the prayer meeting. And here, there was these great crowds, and what were they doing? They were praying. They were outside praying. They were praying for Zacharias. They were praying for God to work. They were under the oppression of the king of Judah, Herod. But yet they were out there. They were surrounded outside the temple. They were praying. I want you to notice that revival starts with prayer, with God's people seeking God. If we want God to work, it's amazing that we have these expectations of God, but we don't follow what he says. They were praying. There was this group of people praying. And if there's ever a time today, maybe it's always been that way because of humanity, but you know what's a lot more effective than posting memes on Facebook or getting aggravated after listening to political commentary is prayer. Prayer. They were praying for God to do something. They were praying for God to move. They were praying that God would work in their midst. Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Paul said, pray without ceasing. So if we're going to see God move in our lives, he's going to do it through prayer. And so there's this great crowd, and they're out there praying. So Zacharias, he's going into the Holy of Holies, and he meets Gabriel. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled. And fear fell upon him. Now, talk about breaking up the monotony. What if you came to church today and you saw an angel? I was thinking about that this week, and I wonder what our reaction would be. If we'd be fearful, or if we'd even notice. I'm hoping we'd notice. I'm hoping we're not that asleep that there's an angel on the right hand of the pastor and nobody even notices. There was an angel. God showed up. God sent the angel, Gabriel. One of the few appearances of the angel in the New Testament. Man, talk about changing a worship service. I bet you the worship team would be excited. They'd be able to sing with the angels. Or the angel, Gabriel. I don't know if he can sing. We'll find out one day. God changed the situation drastically and suddenly. He saw this angel. But notice what it said. He had fear. He had fear. Fear fell upon him when he saw this angel. And there's two parts of that that we can look at this morning. First of all, do we fear God today? Do we fear God? Do we hear so much of God or come to church every week and it's kind of like, yeah, God's there, but is he really there? Do we fear God? Do we fear him. And I think the answer is how we relate to God. Zacharias feared God, but when he saw the angel, that was kind of upsetting. Notice Psalm 25, verse 14 says this, "The friendship of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant." In other words, fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowing God, but that fear relationship turns into a relationship of love. But it starts with fear, respect. This word means to tremble. If we're in God's presence, we might tremble a little bit. So we see that Zacharias meets this angel. And then notice the prayers were answered. And this is a great verse. But the angel said to him, notice what he said, "Do not be afraid." Don't be afraid, Zacharias. This is good news. Sometimes I'll talk to somebody and I'll say, "All right, I need to meet with you." And so when the pastor says, "I need to meet with you," the tendency, the default is, "I did something." But that's not always the case. Sometimes it's good news. Sometimes it's, "I want to encourage you." I had that happen a few weeks ago. I said, "I want to meet you." And they're like, "What'd I do?" "You'd do anything." That's kind of what this is. He says, "Do not fear, Zacharias." Notice what it says. "For your prayer is" what? "Heard." Do you ever feel like your prayer isn't heard? Do you ever feel like you pray for something, it doesn't happen? Do you ever feel like God's not listening? That God isn't interested? No, he is. It says here, "Your prayer is heard." That's one of the greatest verses in the Bible. Your prayer is heard. I know you've been praying, Zacharias. I know you've been longing. I know you've been faithful. And I know you've probably given up. "And your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and they shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth." Isn't this good news? God wants, is given the message, joy and gladness. What a shocking message when God shows up. What a change of situation here. God is going to use you. You're going to have a child, but it's not just going to be an ordinary child. Of course, nobody has an ordinary child, right? When you're older, I see people, their little kids and grandkids, and putting the pictures on Facebook. And of course, I'll be there one day, and I was there before. And you hear parents, and like, he's so smart. But John's going to be, he's going to be something else. He's going to be the messenger that was prophesied in the Old Testament. Promise fulfilled. Psalm 10, verse 17 says, "O Lord, hear the desire of the afflicted. You will strengthen their heart. You will," what does it say? "Incline your ear." God hears. You may think he doesn't hear. He hears. God's listening. God knows. God's attentive. He's not like us or like me when my wife's talking to me and I'm looking the other way and on my phone. Or my kids. And then I'll repeat what they said. I said, "I heard you." What do they say? "No, you know, I want your attention. I didn't want you just to hear." That's what God's doing. He puts his phone down and he's listening to you. he's hearing. And then we see the promise fulfilled. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. This is the Old Testament, again, that prophesied Malachi. We read it Wednesday night, that the forerunner, the messenger, will come and prepare the way for Jesus. John was an itinerant evangelist, and he went all around to all the cities and villages and towns. And what was his message? He said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And he baptized hundreds of people. But then he said, I'm not the Messiah. There's coming one greater than me. So he went and prepared the way for God. Verse 16, for Jesus. And he will turn many of the children of Israel, and the Lord their God, he will also go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah, and turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now, this is where I'm coming back to that verse. God will do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. When they prayed for a child, do you think they understood that their child would be John the Baptist? In fact, they may have had disappointments, times and periods of disappointment with God because they didn't have a child, because they were old and they didn't think they could have a child. But when God showed up, they had a child, but it wasn't just any child. John the Baptist. And so if you look at Zacharias and Elizabeth, and we talked about how they were maybe feeling insignificant, or maybe that didn't even cross their mind at their time because they were accustomed to being faithful. Today, 2,000 years later, Christmas time, we're still talking about Zacharias and Elizabeth. So it was significant what God did in their lives. And so the expectation, the hope, the promise for us today is to be planted and have an expectation to be in God's plan, to be faithful, to wait for God's plan in your life, to not get ahead, to not rush, to not do it yourself, to follow God, trust God, and believe that whether God's called you to be a mother or a travel vlogger, that God will use you in that plan. And no matter where you are planted, no matter where God has you, married, unmarried, 6 kids, no kids, great job, lots of money, not so much money. Wherever God has you, that's where you're planted. And not to doubt God's plan. Because what happened to John? And Zacharias said to the angel, what did he say? What are you talking about? What? No. Like, this angel just gave him this message. He's like, what do you mean? We're old. Like, we're old. How are we going to have a child? My wife's old. Imagine praying for something for years and years and years. And then God's working and we doubt what he's going to do. Notice verse 19. And the angel answered and said to him, I'm Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the days these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. Here we come back to the promise. Here we come back to what is our expectation. Our expectation is to wait and trust the promises of God. And when we take the promises of God, because the Bible says, it is written, Jesus said, he who builds his life on the sand, he who builds his life on the rock, he that obeys and keeps my commandments is like one who builds his life on the rock. This is what he's saying. He's saying, if you'll trust. And so what is doubt? Doubt is when we get away from living according to the Bible. And we're like, we're really saying God's not going to keep his promise. And we're really saying God's not going to be true to what he says. God's not reliable. And so, Zacharias, didn't talk for 9 months. Because God wanted to show us, don't miss the blessing of God by doubting what God's going to do. You may not see it now. It may take time. It may not come today. It may not come tomorrow. But when our expectation is from God, we'll never be disappointed. And we'll have more joy than we thought we had. We'll have more joy than we thought we were going to have. Because what God is doing in our lives through all of this, and I'm sure John and Elizabeth understood this at the end, that though they had this time, this period, they didn't have a child, it was disheartening. The joy they had having John the Baptist superseded all the times of sorrow. And when we have our expectation in what God is going to do, what God is, we'll never be disappointed. And we'll see God move in our lives. So the question today is, are you looking for God to move in your life? Are you looking to God to save you? Bible says, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you understood that we're sinners and that we're separated from God by when we're born, and that nobody can save himself, and that unless we call upon the name of the Lord to be saved, we can't be saved. Trusting in the death of Jesus Christ and believing in his resurrection. Are you willing to take that expectation that God can change your life? Maybe you're dealing with something that's troubling you. Do you believe God can help you? God can give you that power? God can give you the victory? Are you expecting that God can do that? Are you expecting that God can answer your prayer? Are you expecting that your desire can be changed to see the goodness and the power of God? This part of the Christmas story, though we haven't got to the birth of Christ, shows us that God is just working that plan and that his promises are true and God keeps his word. Maybe you're doubting today. Maybe you're doubting, is the Bible really true? Is this faith really true? Are you trusting? Are you waiting? Are you looking to see what God can do in your life? Let's stand and pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this story. We thank you for this example, Lord, because it's so real to us. We thank you that you answer prayer. We thank you that you've showed us this couple that struggled like many struggle. But yet we see, God, that you're faithful. Help us this morning to trust your faithfulness. Help us this morning to trust your goodness. But help us this morning to be waiting for you to show up, to be real in our lives. Lord, if you're not real to somebody, they'd call upon your name to be saved, that they'd see you, they'd see your goodness, your love, your power. Lord, we pray that you would work in our lives, in our midst. Maybe we just need to, Lord, pray more, expecting that you're going to work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we sing this morning, you have an opportunity to come. Maybe you need to, you're not sure if you're saved. Maybe somebody will show you from the Bible how you can be saved. Maybe